Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. If there were fans up top, yeah. Would you like the fans on or not on? On. You say not on. We'll give you a chudder. We can sit over here. Okay. Part 6. So as I was saying, what was I saying? Huh? Narottam Das Thakur. Oh, yes. Narottam Das Thakur had a dream in which the Lord and Master of his life, who had already departed from this world, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appeared to him a dream and told him, go to the river Padma early in the morning, take your bath, and I want to give you from the river Padma, where I've deposited my ecstatic love for Krishna, my ecstatic love for Krishna will become yours. He went to the river Padma very early in the morning and took his bath. And when he entered the river Padma, it wasn't just the normal river Padma that he had been used to bathing in. It was a totally ecstatic experience. And he came out permanently changed. He never became the same again. When he came back home, even his complexion was golden. His parents didn't recognize him. Is that you? Our son, Narottam? And he was just laughing and laughing and chanting in ecstasy and love of God. They thought he had become deranged, and it went on for days and weeks and months. Our teenage son has gone mad. And then Narottam Das Thakur had another dream. And in that next dream, he dreamed that Lord Chaitanya appeared again and told him, go to Vrindavan at once. And when you go to Vrindavan, take shelter of my very dear devotee, Lokanath. Find him. Serve him. Take initiation from him. Let him become your life and soul. Narottam left home without saying a word to his mother and father. The king, his prince son, left home. And when he came to Vrindavan, he immediately went to the Radha Govinda temple. By that time, Radha Govinda temple was built. And when he entered the Radha Govinda temple, it's like Mahaprabhu when he entered the Jagannath temple, he swooned in ecstasy to see Govindaji. And he fainted on the ground, unconscious. He was an ecstatic devotee. And Jiva Goswami found him there. And Jiva Goswami brought him to his place at Radha Damodar. Just 10 minutes walk away. We walked. And he inquired from Rupa Goswami, where is Lokanath? So he informed him, he's here worshipping Radha Vinod. So here comes the son of a king requesting Lokanath, who is not highly educated, to become his spiritual master. And the answer was no. I'm not going to accept any disciple. That's not, there's Jiva Goswami, and there's Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami, and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. There's so many Goswamis, so many qualified persons. Take shelter there. So Narottam Das Thakur decided, my life is the order of Mahaprabhu, and he's ordered me to serve him and become his disciple. So if he says no, then I'll just serve him. But Lokanath wouldn't accept any service, so he had to do it so that Lokanath didn't know. So from here, where Lokanath was residing, Lokanath Goswami was residing, he would go every morning to the river Jamuna to take his bath and take care of his daily evacuation and passing, and then bathe in the side of the, right, within the Jamuna, and come back and worship his deity. So every morning, after Lokanath left, he would go and clean the place with a broom and with his own hand. And he did it privately for 1 year, not saying a word to anybody. Finally, Lokanath figured it out. The place is always clean. That means somebody is coming and cleaning. Who is doing that? I'll hide behind a tree and find out who it is that was doing that. So he watched after he answered the call of nature and entered into the river Jamuna and came out. It was still before the sunrise, and he hid behind a tree and watched to see what would happen. Boom, 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 boom. Ah! What are you doing? Lokanath Maharaj, I'm just serving you. Who gave you permission to serve me? Who said you could do this? What are you doing? It's the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to serve you, and it's my life and soul to serve you. But you're the son of a king, and I'm a nobody. I'm a mendicant nobody with no standing in any position at all. You're the son of a king. What are you doing? You're my lord and master. You said you wouldn't accept me as a disciple, but I somehow just want to serve you anyway. Please allow me that service. He spoke with such sincere humility that the heart of Lokanath melted, and he agreed to accept him as a disciple. One disciple, Narottam Das Thakur. And in the course of his training under Jiva Goswami, Narottam said, you need a qualified teacher. Study under Jiva Goswami. So he studied under Jiva Goswami, under the order of Lokanath. And as time passed, Narottam, Srinivas, and Shyamananda were all sent by Jiva Goswami to go on the first traveling Sankirtan party. All the writings of the Goswamis were set in handwritten books on a bullock cart, and the bullock cart was directed by Jiva Goswami to go to all the other parts of India and deliver the teachings of the six Goswamis. This is the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so they accepted. And so they accepted. And they went traveling. And Narottam Das Thakur went back to his home place of Keturi and preached very widely and broadly. One of the things that he's most known for is his songs. Most known, even till today. Srila Prabhupada loved singing Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans. And our Gaudiya Vaishnavas today sing very happily Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans. Bhaktivinod Thakur said that the songs of Narottam Das Thakur are none different than scripture. They're worshipable like scripture is worshipable. Because they're written from his ecstatic realizations, not just poetic writings. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful songs. And his teachings also were so elevated that all kinds of people, thousands and thousands of persons, became his disciple. And one of the most prominent amongst his disciples is his samadhi is here at Radha Gokulananda temple, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. So since his samadhi is here and he was a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur, I'll speak something about Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Very, 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 very elevated, learned Brahmin who wasn't a Vaishnav, but just through the association of Narottam Das Thakur, he gave up his other teachings and just became a humble servant at the feet of Narottam Das Thakur. And one of the foremost disciples of Srinivasacharya also became a very, very dear associate of Narottam Das Thakur. Ramchandra Kaviraj, who also wrote many nice songs. So, the Brahmin community were in a tizzy. They were enraged. How can someone from a Kayasta caste give initiation to an exalted Brahmana? This is wrong. And they started complaining. The Smarta Brahmins started complaining to the king and ordered that the chief pundit of the king should go and dismiss this rascal, this bogus Narottam. So the king ordered his chief pundits to go and debate with Narottam and defeat him. There's a long description of this in Bhakti Ratnakar. Maybe some parts of this you've heard. So to prevent Narottam from having to deal with wrangling pundits, they made a plan. The plan was, as the pundits' party was entering Keturi, they set up as if they were shopkeepers, one selling betel nuts and another selling clay pots, just like you might walk down the street and there's a vendor. So these were two shops, tell something about the pundits. They were stopping at a betel shop, but also clay pots to do their cooking and whatever practical necessities. So when they stopped to get the betel nuts, the vendors were speaking in pure Sanskrit. They went to the clay pot merchant and speaking in pure Sanskrit. And then they started thinking, my goodness, if in Keturi the salespeople are speaking pure Sanskrit, where did you learn it? Oh, from our teacher. Who's your teacher? Narottam Das Thakur, he's our teacher. We're just little students. They thought, this isn't a good plan. It's not a good idea for a Brahmin to come and challenge and get defeated. Let's go back home. So there was no debate with Narottam Das Thakur. because of this clever plan made by Ganga Narayan Chakravarti and Ramchandra Kaviraj. Very intimate associates of Narottam Das Thakur, who accepted as his life and soul Lokanath Goswami. So the Mahaprabhu deity of Narottam Das Thakur, the Radha Krishna deity of Lokanath Goswami, and then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, his deity of Gokulananda, after which his temple is named. So a little bit about the life of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was born in the early 1700s, approximately 1708. So go in generations from the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Around 1534 was when Mahaprabhu left. This is 1708, was when Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was born. So Ganga Narayan Chakravarti was a disciple of Narottam Das Thakur. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti had as his disciple, one of his disciples, was Krishna Charan. Krishna Charan had as one of his disciples Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Because these were grihasthas, they weren't renunciates, they had wives and children, but Krishna Charan had no son, so he accepted Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Radharaman Charan as his disciple, and Radharaman Charan was the Diksha Guru of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So think about it, in our Bhagavad Gita, on that page, at the end of the introduction that has our list of disciplic succession, how does our list of disciplic succession go? It goes from Narottam Das Thakur to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Take a look next time. There's a gap of several generations. One of the reasons for that is because through those several generations, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's the source of that list, it's prominent acharya, most prominent acharyas. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti Samadhi is here. It's not like he's an unimportant acharya, but particularly prominent was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. When he was very young, at about 30 years of age, well, first of all, when he was very young, he was married, as is the practice in that time. At a very young age, he was married, not living with his young girl wife, but married. And he went to go live at the ashram of Radharaman Chakravarti. After some time, when the girl was of age to be with her husband was off at the ashram of Radharaman Charan. So the parents of the girl went to the guru, Radharaman Charan, Chakravarti, what are you doing? You have a student here that's our daughter's husband. And what's she to do without her husband? That's the wedding has already been held years and years ago. So he said, I'll speak to my disciple. So he said to Lokanath, try to pacify the family. Go back at least for one day. So there are two different versions. One version is he went back and he just held a marathon Srimad Bhagavatam class with his wife. And she realized that you're on a platform that you can't perform the duties of a husband. you're on another platform altogether. You can just go back to your guru and I'll be okay. And another version is that he went back and he just chanted constantly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. All day long and all night long. And at the end of the day and at the end of the night, he came back to his ashram. And said, she realizes I'm not fit to be her husband. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur returned to Radha Raman Chakravarti's ashram. Radha Raman Chakravarti then gave him a service. The service that he gave him was make by hand a complete 18,000 verse copy of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was very happy to absorb himself in Srimad Bhagavatam, all 18,000 verses. When he was studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and according to the teachings that he had received from his spiritual master, which are the same teachings that he heard from Narottam Das Thakur in disciplic line, he was still just, you know, a young man, like in his early 20s. He would be sitting sometimes in the midday sun and there would be shade over his head, even he was in all directions. It was blazing sunshine. Another time it was described, he was sitting in the middle of an agriculture field and a king was passing by, a landholder king, in a big procession on a palanquin. And all of a sudden, torrential rain came. And the king was all worried about getting drenched. But he saw us sitting out in the middle of the field was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. And all around him, there was no rain. He got off his palanquin, went through the torrential rain, and went and paid obeisances at Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and begged to become his disciple. This is before he even got to Vrindavan. And when he came to Vrindavan, through these generations that had passed, the prominence of Gaudiya Vaishnavism had gone way down. It doesn't take long. This was four generations had passed, 80 years had passed, and the purity, the presence of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his teachings had gone down and down and down. And that was the condition when he came to Vrindavan. But by his presence, everything came up again. It was amazing. He restored, very much like Bhaktivinoda Thakur did, he restored the respectability of Vaishnavism. And he wrote abundant commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, so many other writings, his own original writings and commentaries and other writings, and his, well, Prabhupada liked to comment or quote Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Jiva Goswami, his writings were a great inspiration for Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. So he left a great treasure of transcendental writing behind him. And on the altar also, on the, as we're looking at the altar, the far right side, is Radha Vijay Govinda. Vijay Govinda because of the victory of Govindaji in their worshiper, empowering their worshiper Baladev Vidyabhusan, who also came to reside here in Vrindavan and stayed at the feet of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and eventually wrote the commentary on Vedanta Sutra according to the Gaudiya Vaishnava line. Here's how that happened. It's very interesting, his life. How generations pass, and yet the plan of Mahaprabhu to restore or vitalize Krishna consciousness was provided. Baladev Vidyabhusan was born in a village near Ramuna. So you know where Ramuna is. Ramuna is in Orissa. And he was born in a Brahmin family. And he was a brilliant scholar as a young boy. Anything teachers would put before him, he would learn very quickly and want the next thing to learn. And he decided even as a youth that he wanted to find a guru. So he informed his parents, I want to find a guru. They said, later, when you grow up. He said, no, I want to find a guru now. I want to learn about God, the absolute truth. I have no other interest in this worldly, mundane learning. They tried to persuade him otherwise, and eventually he just left home and went traveling. Young man, teenager, traveling place all over South India. Finally, he found one place in South India where there was a temple of Madhvacharya. And the teachings of Madhvacharya attracted him very much. He enrolled in the school and became a super scholar in their school and received initiation in the Madhvacharya line, which is very important for a later challenge in his life. So he stayed for some years in that ashram of Madhvacharya, but he very much desired to go back to Orissa, where he had come from, and see Lord Jagannath. His teachers didn't want him to go. He had the best student. But finally he persuaded them, and with their permission he went to go to Jagannath Puri. And when he was in Jagannath Puri, he met a student or a disciple of Rasikananda. Now we'll follow in the line of Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur and Shyamananda. Rasikananda is a very important member of that line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those of you that have visited in Ramuna, you know there's the Samadhi Mandir of Rasikananda. And one of his disciples was in Puri. And by the arrangement of Providence, Baladev met this disciple of Rasikananda. And so they started having Krishna Katha together. And Baladev was sharing the teachings that he had learned from Madhvacharya. And this disciple of Rasikananda was sharing the teachings he had heard from Jiva Goswami in the form of the Sandarbhas. And when Baladev heard the teachings of the Sandarbhas, wow, this is really wonderful. So he deeply studied the teachings of Jiva Goswami under a disciple of Rasikananda. And he became so attracted to Krishna Bhakti that he decided he wanted to go to Vrindavan. He didn't go back to the ashram in Madhvacharya's line. He went to Vrindavan. And when he came to Vrindavan, he met Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He was so happy. He had a Uttama Adhikari, perfected soul teacher to teach him everything. So he stayed at his feet. In age, he was much younger. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was much older. But he was the chief student, Baladev Vidyabhusan, who also wrote many commentaries on many different literatures, including Bhagavad Gita, which Srila Prabhupada dedicated his translation of Bhagavad Gita to Baladev Vidyabhusan, because Baladev Vidyabhusan so much inspired Srila Prabhupada. He wrote commentary on the Sandarbhas, or partial commentary. Not complete commentary. He wrote commentary on Jiva Goswami's commentary on Bhakti Brahma Samhita. He's a prolific writer. Now, meanwhile, at a certain point in time, this is where the Vijay Govinda part comes in. In Jaipur, a situation arose where, by this time, during the rule of King Aurangzeb, the deities of Vrindavan, many of the deities of Vrindavan, were shifted for protection to Jaipur. But before the deities of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were shifted to Jaipur, long before that, many generations before that, the Ramanadis, was a group of Sri Vaishnavas called the Northern Division of Sri Vaishnavas. They were worshippers of Ramachandra. They had established a temple near Jaipur. And they were supported through generations by the kings of Jaipur, the Raj of Jaipur. They were Ram Bhaktas, which was very nice. But the conflict came when the deities of Krishna came to Jaipur. And then there's this competition between worship of Krishna and worship of Ram. And the Ramanadis were worried about, well, you know, losing their influence with the king. So they started speaking to the king about, hey, what's going on with their worship? Whoever heard of Radha Krishna worship? We know of Lakshmi Narayan or Rukmini Krishna, but not Radha Krishna. Where does this come from, Radha Krishna worship? And by the way, how are these people even bona fide to do worship? You can't worship a deity without disciplic succession. Where's their disciplic succession? How can they have a bona fide disciplic succession without commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam? Where's their commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam? Hey, what's going on? What's going on? Roar, 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 roar. You know how it goes. So the king didn't know the answer to all these technical questions. So he knew that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he went to the brahmanas, the priests, and said, how do I answer? The priest then sent messengers, hey, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, how do we answer these technical questions? And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, I'm too old to get into this business. I'll send Baladev. So he trained Baladev in all the details necessary to answer all the challenging questions. And Baladev went. They said, okay, well, what's your disciplic succession? He said, I'm initiated in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. I was initiated. Here's my guru and their guru and their guru. I'm in the Madhvacharya line. Oh. Okay, well, where's your commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam? And what about this worship of Radha? Where is this found in the scriptures? You have to give us this answer. He said, well, we don't have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra, because we understand the commentary on Vedanta Sutra was made by the author himself, Vyasadeva. There's our commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Yeah, but you have your own teaching, so you have to have a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That's one of the rules. Where's your commentary? Said, okay, I'll write one. Write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That's like volumes, and it takes years of diligent scholarship. He said, no, it's okay, I'll write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And he went to offer his prayers to Govinda. There's different versions of this. One of the versions says for 3 days, he just prostrated himself before the deity and offering intense prayers. Finally, Govindaji began dictating commentary. So he just sat in the middle of the temple room and started writing. Govinda Bhasya. Govinda spoke, and he wrote. And it was in a short period of time, matter of something like a week or 10 days, something like that, whole commentary on all 4 parts of Vedanta Sutra. And then that was presented to the Ramanadis, and they looked at it, and they were amazed. Not only, how could you do it so fast, but everything was so strong and compelling, they became convinced. And it answered all their technical questions too, directly taking verses from Vedanta Sutra with commentary based upon scripture, how it was. Here was his answer about Radha Krishna worship. Based on the authority of scripture, essentially what he said was that all of the goddesses of fortune are expansions of Radha, so that if Radha is worshipped with Krishna, there's nothing wrong. And scripture that's saying, all the goddesses of fortune, they're expansions from Radha. On the authority of scripture, what could they say? They accepted. And so the Gaudiya Vaishnavas then continued the worship of Radha and Krishna, and Radha Govinda, and Radha Vinod, and Radha Madan Mohan, and all the deities that had been brought from Vrindavan. So the respect, or the good standing of Gaudiya Vaishnavism was defended very wonderfully by Baladev Vidyabhusan. And so the deity that he worshipped is Radha Vijay Govinda on the altar to our right. And I guess you all had the opportunity to see the Govardhan Shila with Mahaprabhu's thumbprint. They were happy to show that. I have just a logistic question. What's happening with prasadam? What time? If you could let me know, find out. Is here now? Okay. Got it. Okay. Could you find out one other thing? Sona Gauranga, what time darshan is open? Sona Gauranga. We'll go from here to there. What time? 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock? What time? Okay. I just want to know what time we have, our cutoff time. We need to start again. Okay. Could you find out for sure? Okay. So now we're going to backtrack. That's the deities on the altar and the personalities connected with the deities. There's also samadhis of these personalities, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, Lokanath Goswami, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. We'll visit their samadhis and pay our respects there after this. Now we'll go back to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and his worship of Radha Raman. When we went to the samadhi of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, such a happy pujari who was sitting there, yeah? Whoa, he was, as soon as he saw us come in, he was so happy. And it wasn't, bakshish time, he was just happy to be with the devotees. So we asked him, could he bring forward, because normally in the samadhi of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, there's a very special tadiya, articles of worship, that were personally used by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kopans, and a seating mat, a straw mat that Mahaprabhu would sit on. He sent them to Vrindavan as a gift to Gopal Bhatta. And Gopal Bhatta worshipped them like he worshipped his deity. So I'll describe. Gopal Bhatta was the son of Venkata Bhatta, and the brother of Venkata Bhatta was Prabodhananda Saraswati. When we started the morning, at Kaliya Ghat. I mentioned in the back, behind Kaliya Ghat, is the samadhi of Prabodhananda Saraswati, who is the brother of Gopal Bhatta's father, Venkata Bhatta. So when Mahaprabhu was on his southern tour, he went to the Sri Rangam temple. And when he entered the Sri Rangam temple, very much like the pastime with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya when Lord Chaitanya entered the Puri temple, when he entered the temple of Ranganath and he saw the deity of Ranganath, he began chanting and dancing in ecstatic love of God. And the Vaishnavas of South India, they had never seen anything like that. What's this? But they can understand it wasn't ordinary. It wasn't just some exhibitionism or something. It was ecstatic love for Krishna. And as the dancing and chanting was spontaneously going on for hours, Venkata Bhatta entered. And when he saw Mahaprabhu, he invited Mahaprabhu to please come to my home to take a meal, as is the practice. Chief priest of Sri Rangam invited Mahaprabhu, young 24-year-old sannyasi, by then 25, to come to his home. So Mahaprabhu came to his home, and Venkata Bhatta washed his feet and had the members of his family drink the water from washing his feet and sprinkled their heads with the water from his feet and fed him sumptuously, and they had Krishna Katha together. It was such a nice exchange. Venkata Bhatta made the following appeal. It's the beginning of the 4 months of the rainy season. Traditionally, sannyasis don't travel at that time. Can you stay at our home for these 4 months? And we can enjoy association together. Please accept my invitation. Mahaprabhu accepted. So little Gopal, at the time he was around 6 years old. Think of some boy that you know that's 6 years old. And there's one. Prahlad. Gopal. So Gopal Bhatta had the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu day and night for 4 months. Just doing little services as a little boy. Very much like Narada serving the Bhaktivedantas. And serving them and serving them. Serving Mahaprabhu and hearing from him and associating with him. Wherever Mahaprabhu went, Gopal was by his side, constantly associating with and serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became so attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when it was time for Mahaprabhu to leave, he pleaded with him, "Let me go with you. I'll be your assistant." And Mahaprabhu said, "No, you stay here and serve your mother and father." The mother and father, they had also become completely attached to Lord Chaitanya. Prabodhananda Saraswati had become completely attached to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, "You take initiation from your uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati. Stay here and serve your mother and father until they leave this world. Then, listen to this, then you can go to Vrindavan and associate with Rupa and Sanatan." Lord Chaitanya had not even met Rupa and Sanatan yet. But he instructed them, "You go and you will find the association of two devotees, Rupa and Sanatan. Serve them. Associate with them like brother." That was Mahaprabhu's instruction, and he left. And with great pain of separation, he followed the instruction of Mahaprabhu. But now he's had this ecstatic association, and he has access to all the knowledge of deity worship, and he has access to all the scriptures. The highest of teachers in the hall of the Sri Sampradaya because he's the son of the chief priest. So he studied and studied and studied and learned and kept careful notes. And as a small boy, he wrote 2 books. Small boy, he wrote 2 books. You want to write 1 book? Your sister can write the other book. He wrote 2 books. One was a complete study of Srimad Bhagavatam by topic. I know some people that are like amazing note takers. I won't mention one of their names, but he has this notebook that's like, you know, it's just like this thick. And you open up his notebook and he makes entries. You know, this is before they had computers, he used his notebook. And according to this subject, this scripture reference, that subject, that scripture, and he just kept scripture topic by topic of Srimad Bhagavatam with references from the scripture to embellish the meaning of the verses from Srimad Bhagavatam and the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, topic by topic. When he was a boy, through his whole life, when he came here to Vrindavan, Gopal Bhatta gave that book to the super scholar Jiva Goswami and said, can you please put this in a publishable form as a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, but I have one condition, don't mention my name. That book became the Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami. It's actually a writing of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But Jiva Goswami, just as a service to Gopal Bhatta, did that. So he's known as the author of the Sandarbhas. But another book that Gopal Bhatta wrote was all about the details of worship. Not only worship, how to observe festivals and how to follow the duties of a householder and how to follow the duties of a sannyasi and how to have Janmashtami festival and how to conceive children and how to marry and how to do all the rituals and all the samskaras and it's a how-to manual for all Gaudiya rituals. And then when he came to Vrindavan, he gave that to Sanatan Goswami. He said, can you publish this, please, in a form that can be used by all devotees on one condition, don't mention my name. And that became Hari Bhakti Vilas. It's the book that we follow. It's our how-to manual and all the tantras or the rituals of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He's from the Sri Sampradaya. But he knew all the rituals of the Sri Sampradaya. He knew the teachings of Mahaprabhu. And he modified the rituals according to the teachings of Mahaprabhu. And so the rituals that we do and the rituals that the Sri Vaishnavas do are almost identical. And the teachings are almost identical. Prabhupada once said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once said, even more close are the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and the rituals of Lord Chaitanya to Sri Vaishnavism than Madhvacharya's line. Amazing. That was the role of Gopal Bhatta. So he was initiated by his uncle. And his uncle came to live in Vrindavan and ecstatically worshiped Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, Radha Krishna. After some time, Gopal Bhatta also came as he was ordered by Mahaprabhu. And he came in net, Rupa and Sanatan. Rupa Sanatan knew of Gopal. They had never met him, but at once they immediately accept him as a brother. That was the order of Mahaprabhu. And they wrote a letter to Mahaprabhu. And the letter was sent by a messenger. And when Mahaprabhu received the letter that Gopal made it to Vrindavan, he was so happy. He sent this messenger back. Here's the straw mat that I sit on. And here's my personal kopans. Give them as a gift to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And when Gopal Bhatt received those articles from Mahaprabhu, he worshipped them. Because he considered from his childhood Mahaprabhu to be his worshipable deity in person. He was totally devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He got this inspiration to go to the Gandakini River, where you can gather Shalagram Shilas. I'll tell two parts of this story. As he was going up in the Himalayas to the river, he stopped at one man's home, a Brahmin, to spend the night, take rest, who received a meal, and they ended up just talking Krishna Katha all night. And in the morning, when Gopal Bhatta had to leave, he was very much going to be missing his association, and he made one request. He said, "I don't want to ask this of you, but in service to the Lord, so that my deity worship can continue, I have no son. Can you bless me that I may have a son?" Gopal Bhatta said, "In service to the Lord, surely you may have a son. You may have many sons." He said, "Then I promise you my first son. He will become your disciple. He'll come and serve you." Gopal Bhatta continued on his journey. And he had some container for taking his bath in the river. And as he put the container in for taking his bath in the river, as he started to take the kamandalu for bathing himself, he looked inside and there are 12 Shalagram Shilas inside. So he took them out of the kamandalu and placed them back in the river. Gathered some water again, and there they were again, inside the kamandalu. So he took them out by hand and put them back in the river, and third time, same thing happened. And he realized they must want to be worshipped by me somehow. So he accepted, that's the will of the Lord. A different version I heard was, he gathered them, he was going back down the hill, and he thought, "I don't have the qualification to worship Shalagram Shila." So he came back, put them in the river, and they jumped back into his pot. They wanted to be worshipped by him because of his pure devotion. So he came back to Vrindavan, and every day he's worshipping with great devotion his Shalagram Shilas. And one of those Shilas, a Damodar Shila, later became Radharaman. Because it was the Sringa Chaturdasi, when one wealthy merchant was visiting from Delhi, visiting the temples of Vrindavan, and each of the temples he gave expensive cloth and fine ornaments and jewelry to be offered to the deities of the Goswamis in Vrindavan. And when he came here to Radharaman temple, just Shalagram Shila. So he made the offering of the same articles, but they're, how can you offer the cloth to Shalagram Shila in practical way? So he, that night, on Nrisimha Chaturdasi, he prayed, "Please manifest a form. Please provide me with a form of Krishna that I can decorate with all these nice ornaments and serve in this other very loving manner." And then he took rest. And then in the morning he went to take his bath in the river Jamuna. And when he came back, there were 11 Shalagram Shilas, not 12. He looked beside the basket where he kept the Shilas, and there was Radharaman, manifested from the Damodar Shila. He was amazed. He sent a messenger to immediately inform Rupa and Sanatan Goswami, "This most amazing thing has happened, a self-manifesting deity from the Shalagram Shila." And they came to see the beautiful form of the deity of Krishna, self-manifested from Shalagram, and they were admiring how beautiful the deity was. They remarked, this is well known in Gaudiya Vaishnava Katha, that from the waist down, the deity looks just like Krishna looks, Madan Mohan, and from the waist up to his shoulders, just like Radha Govinda look in the spiritual world, and from the shoulders up, just like Radha Gopinath, perfect form of the deity, self-manifesting. So they, Rupa Goswami gave the name Radha Raman because the place where the deity appeared, we saw the little shrine where Radha Raman self-manifested, is in the Nidhivan area where Krishna is giving great pleasure to Srimati Radharani. And so they gave the name Radha Raman. And he worshipped Radha Raman with great delight. But he was feeling in course of time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is my worshipable master, and here I am worshipping Shalagram Shilas and Radha Raman, but not Mahaprabhu. And so he had a dream, and in that dream Mahaprabhu appeared and said, I am that form of Radha Raman. And when you see that form of Radha Raman, you will see me, because I am non-different. Gopa Bhatta was amazed and totally satisfied. In course of time, later we're going to go to the Sona Gauranga temple, where the pujaris of Radha Raman were given charge of the Sona Gauranga deity that was being worshipped by Jagannath Das Babaji. We'll tell that story in more detail, but they take charge of the Sona Gauranga worship, and there's that such fine standard of worship exists there. Now, the contribution of Gopal Bhatta, any one of the, our disciplic line is so rich with personalities that are just like out of this world, just super personalities, amazing personalities, gifted and empowered by Mahaprabhu to assist us. And by taking shelter of Srila Prabhupada and the followers of Srila Prabhupada, we're making ourselves eligible for their mercy. I didn't describe the detail of Shyamananda. I'm not sure, I think what to speak of all the deities at the Radha Damodar temple, I'd like to describe those personalities also. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. Sri Sri Radha Damodar ki. Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundara ki. Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda ki. Sri Sri Radha Vijay Govinda ki. Gopimanandi Hari.